pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have built us upon the rock of Jesus and his word, for he is the word that has become flesh and dwells among us. Lord, be with us in this time. Speak through me that my words would be your words. And Lord, allow those words to accomplish exactly what you set them out to do. For we know that you are trustworthy and true. Guide us and lead us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Yeah. You know, the New Year is a great time. Great time to kind of take that moment and look back. Look back on the past year or years to kind of see how we've done, right? How we've measured up, how we've grown, have we accomplished those things that we want to accomplish? Have we done those things that we want to do? What brings joy? What brings stress and anxiety? You know, all of that stuff from the past. And of course, the new year is also a time to look forward. Look forward to what 2023 will entail. What does it mean for us? How are we going to move forward? How are we going to grow? How are we going to get better? How are we going to do all this? It's a time to make resolutions, right? You know, I've never really got into New Year's resolutions a whole lot. I've tried them before, and to be honest, they last about a week, 2 weeks at the most, and so why kind of do them, you know? You know, I bet you would probably know what the number one New Year's resolution is out there. Anybody have a guess? Lose weight, yeah. And we know how that one goes usually. It's hard. But it's not just that. There's a lot of, you know, just in a short list, get out of debt. Get more active. You know, do not spend as much time on the internet. And, you know, all of these, even be spiritual. What does be more spiritual mean? It means to actually meditate a little bit while we're doing yoga, or does it mean to be a disciple of Christ? You know, but there's these New Year's resolutions. We have them all, or we think about them at least. Does anybody have a New Year's resolution? Did you think of some? Anybody? Yeah, I see some heads nodding. Here's, I guess, the better question. Anybody have any last year that were fulfilled all the way through December 31st? Anybody? I don't see any heads nodding there, but, you know, maybe you're a little shy. Yeah, I would think that most of the New Year's resolutions probably kind of fall by the wayside by the end of January, let alone December. And when you think about it, New Year's resolutions in the gospel kind of don't fit, right? When you think about it, what do we think of when we think of these New Year's resolutions, or what does it push us to think when we come and we come to them? Well, if we fail, like I often do when I start, I'm worthless, right? I can't do it. I don't have enough power. I'm not strong enough. If I was like that other person, then I could do it. Then I would be able to follow through with it. Or the opposite side, maybe you are one of the very few that gets all the way through December. Even on good things. I know my wife started a New Year's resolution to read through the scriptures in a year, a chronological Bible, and she finished. And not to say that she's doing this, and probably it's not the best example because I know she's not, but when we get to that point, you know, look at me. Look at me. Look at what I've done. I've accomplished this. I've put my mind to it, and I can do it. I don't need any help. I'm strong enough. But that's not what God wants, right? God doesn't want us just to say, look at me. It's rather look at him. Trust in him. What does Jesus say to the Pharisees at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount and to everyone else there at that sermon? If you don't have righteousness that exceeds the Pharisees, you can't enter the kingdom of God, to enter the kingdom of heaven. So unless you're better than these people who think they're great, and let's be honest, I know we kind of give them bad rap. You know, we know the end of the story. We know, you know, we know Friday morning when they're going to be screaming and inciting the crowd to scream, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. We understand that. But But really, for everyone else at this time, they're the good people. They're the people that come to church every week. They're the ones who tithe. They're the ones who give to the poor. They're the ones who don't have any dirt or skeletons in the closet. They're the ones who are faithful. And what is Jesus saying to them? Unless you have righteousness that exceeds them, so they're not even included right now, and so unless you have more righteousness than them, you have no hope. Man, for the average person, it must not be a good thing. What am I going to do? If the people that I look up to as spiritual champions aren't in, how can I get there? How can I do that? But that's where God wants us right now. He doesn't want us just to think that we need to polish up a little thing here or there, that we need to change a little bit of action or just become a little bit better here or do something a little bit different here. No, he wants us to die. He wants to crush us, kill us. You know, that little spot polish doesn't help. We need to be destroyed. I mean, that's what we talked about the whole Christmas season, right? Especially into Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, that Jesus doesn't just come to give us a silent night. He doesn't come just to bring a little joy to the world or make this night a holy night or even give parents, you know, something to say, well, he's watching you, so you better be good. No, he comes to die. He comes to die. And of course, in that gospel text, we hear this cosmic war that's been going on from the beginning where Satan wants Jesus dead and he goes through Herod and all of that, but yet God has a plan to save him and protect him and then bring him out of Egypt. And what Israel couldn't do, he's going to do for us. Where Israel fails and falls and in the desert even complains, Jesus is going to be tempted in the desert, but not fall, not fail, become the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This New Year's, it's not just about being a little bit better. Not a little polish here or there. It's about dying. Becoming a whole new you. In Christ. Because of his death and resurrection, we have life. Because of his death, we are made whole and made new again as he kills us through his word, kills us in the waters of holy baptism, right where we need to be, dead. Because there we get it. There we get it. That a corpse can't just spray a little perfume on and say, hey, I'm better. A corpse can't just take the ligaments and start tying them together and bringing all the bones with rotten flesh. A corpse can't rise. But when Christ comes and he calls us forth from the tomb, there is life. There is life. And so God calls us not just to be a little better because it's no good. That's where Christianity is different than all other religions, right? The law is the same. The law is the same. You know, we have a law, the Ten Commandments. We have God's written law to us throughout all of the scriptures, and the law does its job. It shows us our sin. It kills us. It says we don't live up to it, just like all the other religions of the world. Do this, do that. You know, go on your pilgrimages and be more with the world around you. Be one with the world and then you're good and all of this other stuff. Yeah, we have that, but the Christianity is different in that the gospel comes to us and says, you know those good spots in your life? Those things that you think are clean and polished up, they're not. For we are unrighteous without Christ, and it's through Christ that we are made righteous. And that wonderful exchange, he doesn't just kill us and bring us back to life to be sinners again, but we are given his righteousness. So on that last day, when God looks at us, it's not look at what you have done, but look at what Christ has done. And so therefore we can stand. A wonderful blessing. The great exchange. He takes our sin on the cross and we get his righteousness. We are made new. We are made holy. You know, from Galatians that we talked about with the children, we are made heirs. We are made heirs of the kingdom of God. Does that mean we can just live life the way we want? Absolutely not. We are called to follow the law. It's the right thing to do. It's God's will for us in his life, but not for salvation. For that is the cross. And it was Francis Chan that had this illustration, and I loved it, and I remembered it, and I said, I'm going to preach it one day, and so here's the chance. You know, a wonderful kind of illustration. So what are our good works? You know, too often we think our good works, you know, I can do it, I'm better. And so we think of it as a ladder that I can start climbing. I can get a little higher and I can look down on you, all you sinners down there, because I'm better. I'm up here, you're down there. No. The law just kills us. The law just shows us our sin. It gets us nowhere closer to God. It's only through the gospel that we are saved. So instead of using it as a ladder, it's more like that railroad track. It's on the ground. Gets us no closer to God, but directs our life. That third use of the law that guides us along as we're going along. Should we want to be better? Should we want to read the scripture? Should we want to, you know, be more forgiving and loving? And absolutely, because that's God's law for us. That's him moving us along, sanctifying us as we become more and more like Christ, you know, until that last day when we are completely sanctified with him. You know, and so as we go, we can see it, you know, should I buy the new home, the new car, the new gadget and gizmo and all of that stuff? What does God's law say? Well, love your neighbor. Maybe I should get back on the track. I'm struggling with my spouse and they just are frustrating me, but this other person knows me. Nope. God's law tells us to keep going. Get back on track. Gets us nowhere closer to God. We're still on the same level. It's only through the grace of God, through the sacrifice of Christ, that we are made new, that we are given a new life, that we are raised from the dead. Are good works needed? Absolutely. Your neighbor needs them. Your neighbor needs them. Do them. But they don't get you any closer. God's done that all for you. I pray that your new year is filled with great joy, filled with great grace, knowing that it's not what you have done, that you have accomplished, that you have gone through another year better than the last year or whatever it is, but that Christ has died for you and rose for you, and he has called you forth from the grave. In the waters of holy baptism, and through his word, you have died to sin and risen to new life. You are a new you, an heir of the kingdom of heaven. May you know that and walk in that all the days until he returns. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as you have brought us to a new year, we praise you. We praise you for your goodness. We praise you for your working in history. Allow this year to be another year that we display your grace, that we display your mercy, not trusting in our own abilities, but trusting in you alone, so that others will see you through our works, so that others will see you as we praise you for all that you have done. Lord, guide us with your law. Direct us with the gospel message that says you have done it all. In Jesus' name, amen. This time, we ask ushers to come forward to receive our offerings.